As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a holiday weekend. Thanks for joining us here in CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday. Thanks to Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering your questions right after the 7 o'clock news break. Hope you can take some time to join us once in a while. And chime in. If you have any kind of a car care question, you can certainly call Nick right now. Or if it's easier, just send him a text, like some folks like to do. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter weekend.
Yes, and it looks like it's a beautiful morning, so hopefully it'll warm up a little bit and we can enjoy some fresh air and maybe clean the yard a little and get ready for tomorrow.
Now, I'm sure on Friday yesterday you gave a bunch of Easter baskets to your helpers there at Lloyd's, right?
Of course we do. We hide them for them. They need to search the shop and see what they can find.
You put them in the engine compartments of various vehicles there, and let's see if they can locate those eggs. Again, I have a few questions from last week that we did not get to. But let me tell our listeners, if you want to get some questions, if you have to bring in your vehicle for service, let's say, but you want to know ahead of the game what could be ailing, again, call or text Nick, 651-461-9226. And by the way, we'd like you to do it earlier rather than later, we like to say, because our time goes by so quickly. Nick will take his leave about 7:45, making way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So don't wait. Any question, we'd love to hear from you. You don't have to be a motorhead or a gearhead to ask some detailed question. If you have issues about your car, truck, or van, we'd like to hear from you. 651-461-9226. A question was, and I think this is interesting. I've always wondered it myself. Basically, the texter is asking, they don't say what kind of a vehicle, but they want to know how those windshield wipers know when you put it on the windshield wiper when it's raining or drizzling or whatever the case. How does it know to go faster or slower? What kind of sensors? And I've wondered that. Have you learned anything in detail about how that works?
Well, on the vehicle with the auto wipers, as you're describing, at the top of the windshield, kind of right behind the rear view mirror, there's actually a sensor mounted there. So it detects the rain, and then I suppose it's the amount of rain, or, you know, because it's like kind of a light sensor, I guess we can call it. And if it's obstructed because of the rain or such, it's going to turn the wipers on. And if it's raining harder, they're going to turn on faster, and, you know, and so forth and so on. So it's kind of a nice feature, to be honest, because, you know, you got a lot going on, and if the rain picks up, or if you're even more so, if you go through like a big puddle, you have a big splash up on your windshield there, it's nice to have the wipers quickly there to respond and clear that off for you.
Yeah, okay, so it's behind basically the rearview mirror.
Correct, right at the top of the top of the center of the windshield.
I got you. Okay. Yeah, it's amazing how that works. Now, how often let's get personal here, how often do you change your wiper blades on your personal vehicle?
Not as often as I should. I think we could all say that. And I've said this before too. We've joked with people that come in and like they'll be torn, and you know, because the you know it's part of the inspection to check all those things, and we'll say, you know, we should really replace these wipers, and you know, like kind of like everything, they've gotten kind of costly, but they're much better than they used to be. You know, it's like a beam blade, which really helps us in the winter months because it doesn't collect that snow and ice like those old metal frame ones would, where you'd have your windshield wiper would be going across your windshield, you'd have a big smear mark in the middle of it, and you know, you have to like stop, pull over, clear all the ice from there, and then be fine again. Well, the new blades don't really have that issue. But we'll joke with people saying, you know, if you will pay for the passenger side one, we'll give you the driver's side one free, jokingly saying, because you put a new one on the right-hand side of the vehicle and you can see clearly out of it. But you're like, well, no, I need to see clear on this side of the windshield also. So it's one of those things that just really slowly deteriorates. You don't realize it. If it's been a year, or maybe, you know, depending where you're driving, how you drive, maybe a little longer. Next time you're in, have them take a look at those, and you think you'll find that they're pretty well worn.
Or if you use your windshield wiper blade, not that I would do such a thing, to scrape off the frost or snow or anything kind of tough.
That's a big no-no. You know, they're designed to clear rain and water, not snow and ice. And what will happen, and once again, usually we see this in the fall, the first time we get that little bit of snow, that there's so much weight there and stress that oftentimes it can actually bend or damage the wiper arm. Now you go from a couple blades to wiper arm, and sometimes even a little bit deeper with the linkage that operates it. So please get a scraper, and you know, hopefully we're done with any of that for this year or this season. But come fall or winter next year, always use a scraper to clear that ice in the morning. Don't use your wiper blades.
Now, we've talked once in a while over the years, Nick, about the quality. I mean, you get what you pay for kind of thing. Is the same thing true for wiper blades? Because some of those can be pretty costly.
It can be. And I guess what I would say is, you know, in our industry, there's a lot of marketing. You know, they always have ways to improve on some items. And sometimes it's just a lot of words. So I would say I would put back what came on the vehicle originally. I wouldn't spend a whole lot of extra money in some of these special features that may or may not have much result. If you end up looking, figure out what wiper blades are on the vehicle, you know, get a visual of it. So if you're into the store looking to replace them, buy the ones that look the same. They're probably middle of the price point, to be honest, and that will serve you just fine.
All right. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. ASC Certified Technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive answering those questions as usual this Saturday morning. Again, 651-461-9226. Texter says that we get a lot of questions, especially recently, as you noticed, Nick, about gasoline. Benefits and drawbacks of different types of gasoline. Unleaded 88 is cheaper, but is it better? Is that the middle grade, I think, isn't it?
Well, if your vehicle's equipped, a lot of times they offer a different ethanol rating, and that's what that 88 is. You know, some of these newer stations will have like four or five options, and like, be very careful. When in doubt, this one that says regular unleaded is going to work fine. But a lot of times they'll have a higher ethanol content, which oftentimes makes it less expensive. Well, that ethanol is alcohol, so it's going to burn a little faster. So the trade-off is you save a little money, but the fuel economy is probably not the same. In my experience, I would say when I've used those types of fuels, I notice a difference in how long the tank of fuel lasts. And with that, you're back at the station sooner. I would rather never go back to a filling station if I didn't have to. So I don't use those products. I think they're fine. You know, we're using more of the corn-based ethanol stuff versus just the petroleum. So it's probably a little bit of a trade-off, you know, to be honest. But I'm not sure the benefit in money savings is really true. You'd have to, you know, maybe run a couple tanks with your own vehicle, measure the mileage, figure out what you're paying in fuel, do that math, and then maybe try with the regular fuel compared to the ethanol type fuel. Once again, if your vehicle's equipped to allow that, you open the fuel tank there, it'll be on the cap, it'll say ethanol or E85. It'll have some wording there to tell you it's okay, or look in the manual. But compare it for yourself, and if you see, hey, this is working well for me, by all means, go ahead with it. But I think you might learn it's pretty much a trade-off.
Yeah, that's once in a while. Read the manual, too. But you're right. It should say something around the gas filler door there. Again, 651-461-9226. Denny Long here with Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive. Here's a question that has nothing to do with cars. Well, kind of. And it's something I'm sure that you and your crew there have had to do for more than once. Any tips for getting motor oil stains off a driveway?
Well, you know, the kitty litter, the floor dries, the first thing, you know, it's an absorbent, so you put it on there, let it sit, kind of try to mash it in with your foot or drive over it a few times. Let it, you know, give it 24 hours, maybe a little bit longer, as long as there's no rain in the forecast. You don't want it getting wet because it's just going to absorb the water there then. So, you know, give it a day or so, let it sit there, let it soak it in, sweep it up really well, clean it up really well. You could try using a little bit of detergent, you know, some Dawn soap and a scrub brush will kind of help work that up too. Depends really how much it's caked down, to be honest. You know, from time to time, people say, hey, I got a little oil on my garage floor. What can I do? And usually, like I said, the little kitty litter or that floor dry product will kind of soak up most of it, and then maybe a little soap and water to clean it up. It'll hopefully get most of it. It's really hard to make it look like it did, but you can definitely improve upon it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It doesn't say what material, if it's asphalt or concrete. I'm assuming it's concrete. I've used a concrete cleaner. Every year I use a pressure washer to clean the concrete. And then, of course, every few years to seal it. But you got to take care of that. But you're right. It's never quite the same. But sometimes the sun and all the weather that we go through here in Minnesota, sometimes it kind of has a chance to kind of bleach out too. So good tips. We have more to come. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. We'll get back to Nick from Lloyd's Automotive in just a moment here. 35 degrees in the Twin Cities. We're going for, generally speaking, it's going to be around the upper 56 maybe. And for Easter Sunday tomorrow, small chance of showers, highs near 60. Again, 35 in the Twin Cities from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE Certified Technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, for those that maybe need some help and want to meet some nice, happy folks there at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. Like you alluded to, if you need a question answered or need some advice before you take it in, please don't hesitate. You can always reach out to us. We'll help. 651-228-1316. And if you're out on a stroll this week, hopefully the weather warms up a bit and you can stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. That's on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. And as you know, Denny, please check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
I do that from time to time, and we will get you that information before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 this morning. Call us or text us with any car care question you may have, 651-461-9226. Let's grab a phone call, Nick. Paul, checking in this morning from Rosemount, I believe. Thanks for hanging on, Paul. What's your question for Nick?
I own a 2013 F-150. It's a two-wheel drive, and I'll be driving along on the freeway or in the city streets, and I'll get a check engine light, and the truck will downshift into like a lower gear, and the speedometer goes to zero, and so then I'm driving in low. And it's just so random. I'm wondering if there's any information you can give me on what that might be.
Well, my first thought is that there's a transmission input, a speed sensor of sort that's kind of flaking out, we'll say. And when that's happening, it's not identifying the speed. So it's downshifting, speedometer's going away, a couple of warning signs there. If the light is coming on, you know, that's unfortunate, but it's also good because a lot of times there's data that is stored with that. So what I would advise you to do is if you can, you know, hopefully maybe have a journal of it and you find kind of a bit of a routine to have it happen. And then the light comes on, take it into your shop. They can hook up their diagnostic tool and hopefully they can access the freeze frame, as we refer to it as, and look at that data and see which component wasn't working. A lot of times they'll have a code describing some sort of input. You look at the data, look at the different readings, and you find something that's out of skew. And then from there, you can go to that component, you know, check to make sure it's good contact, connection, wiring, functionality, all those types of things, and hopefully be able to sum that up for you and get it figured out.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. Texter says this, 2024 Chevy Blazer, only 23,000 miles on it. After last service, already has a check mark in the yellow box caution for the brakes. You think that's unusual?
Yes. What I do like about newer vehicles is that they have a lot of these systems designed to kind of help us, let us know that it's not happy about something. You know, there's the brake, you know, lots of have brake, oil, tires, sometimes even filters. And it can be a bit of an annoyance, to be honest. However, we don't check those things like we used to. You know, I'm old enough now, Denny, and I remember working at the filling station for our good friend Dan Burns, and we would check people's oil out on the drive. You know, people would stop and get gas. We checked oil, checked their tires. Nobody does that anymore. No. And to have your vehicle saying, hey, I don't like my braking system, for whatever reason, they're worn, you know, it's fair enough to say that's kind of your heads up. Make that appointment. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It's kind of giving you a little bit of time frame here. But get on somebody's schedule. Get it inspected. Maybe the brakes are worn out. Maybe there's something with a sensor. But it's worth having it looked at before you have bigger problems.
Yeah, you're right. There's so many helpful things in newer cars these days that really kind of gets us kind of lazy, actually.
Well, and it's sometimes it's annoying, though, too. You got all these lights.
That's true.
You know, you kind of become numb to it, which please don't do that. If there's a warning light on your vehicle, don't ignore it. You know, it doesn't mean it's an emergency, but it's telling you, hey, get on the schedule, have this assessed, and then once you're informed, you can make a better decision what you want to do.
Good point. Here, Nick, is a 2010 Focus. When I put on the brakes, the left front wheel chatters almost like there is a bulge on the tire. I have new tires. They made no difference. What should I look for if I take the wheel off?
Might be hard to visually see that. My guess would be if it's not a tire, and what you said, they're new tires, try rotating them. Make sure it's not a bent wheel. You have to eliminate things. So we know it's rotating. We know which corner of the vehicle it is. So we need to take something away to eliminate it. So the whole tire wheel, rotate the tires front to back or left to right, see if that changes it. If that doesn't change it, you might have to take it into a shop, because my next thought is it's maybe something with the wheel bearing or something with the braking system, which you might need some different specialty tools to be able to pinpoint and figure out. Even a lot of times what we'll do is we'll raise the vehicle in the air, run the vehicle in the air to let that tire to rotate and try to visually inspect it that way, which obviously you can't do from home. So I would try rotating the tires yourself if you're capable. That doesn't give you any kind of change in the issue. Take it in. Describe it, have them take it for a test drive, and get it inside up in the air and get a closer look.
All right, very good. As you know, Nick, our listeners, not only do they call in and text in asking for your advice, sometimes we get advice from our listeners, or good tips anyway. Here's another one about cleaning the driveway. Texter says, Denny, I've had good luck using Lest Oil. Boy, I haven't heard that product in a long time. To get the oil stains out of concrete, and don't forget, it takes a lot of elbow grease, too. Yeah, I can well imagine. Lest Oil. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break and have a look at that Easter weekend forecast, and we'll have time for your more car care questions. So call Nick, text him, 651-461-9226 with any kind of a car care question you have this morning. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician, from Lloyd's Automotive, answering any kind of a car care question you may have, either by phone or by text. We still have time for yours, so call Nick or text Nick. The question via the text line, Nick, are aftermarket axles acceptable to use on a Toyota 4Runner?
A lot of times, yes. And then we talked about this sometimes, you know, just in parts in general. You know, there's good, better, best in all types of shapes and sizes. But I think on an aftermarket side, on parts for a vehicle, including axles, if it's a good quality one, yes. If you're looking online, look at the reviews, see who's selling them, you know, do a little research. But I think if you find a good quality one, I think it'll serve the vehicle just fine. You know, especially as vehicles get a little bit older, we tend to want to use maybe some parts that are more cost effective, because you don't need that extra length of time, because it's maybe near end of life, so you can save a little money that way too. So it's kind of case by case, but if you do your research, I think you can find good quality parts at a good price.
All right. I know you, in this case, this texture, you'd want to take a look at this vehicle, but there's a 2010 Silverado 5.3 aluminum block engine. Oil was found down 2 to 3 quarts. It was driven about 2,000 miles before it was noticed. Do you think the engine has been damaged?
Damage isn't a fair word. I think maybe more worn than we wanted is a better way to put it. Obviously, you know, get good fresh oil, good filter in there. Maybe look at for some contaminants as you drain the oil to get a better read on it. But to be honest, you're not going to know until you get fresh oil, good clean filter in there, and drive it. If it's driving fine, it's quiet, you know, become more comfortable with it, you'll be fine. But keep on top of the oil level, top of the oil services. Because that was, you know, maybe snuck by this time. But if you do that too many times, it's not going to work. So I would advise you going forward, keep an eye on that oil level.
Okay. Here's a text that comes from the original owner of a 2012 Nissan Leaf, that electric vehicle. The battery range is now very low. The Nissan technicians say they cannot replace the cells or the battery cost is so high. You're better off buying a new car, and that's not happening, Dexter says. Any advice?
Yeah, that's a hard one. Sometimes as these hybrid vehicles or electric vehicles age, the battery capacity depletes. You know, it used to do a certain amount of time or mileage or distance, and now you're just not getting that same result. Temperature effects on it, battery cycle life. And it is true, a lot of cases you can't replace those individual cells. They're not designed to be repaired as such. I know there's places online, and you can look around, you can find things. I would caution you there, too. You don't know what you're buying there. But, you know, you can look around. I just talked about aftermarket parts, you know, on some of those hybrid batteries that we've done. We haven't had much luck. We end up buying one from the manufacturer. So my best advice is start saving up and, you know, hopefully you can find a good deal on the right day and be able to get that replaced, get that that range back that you were used to, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Good question here. Do spare tires have air pressure sensors?
You know, we talked about this also. Sometimes they do, and it can really throw us for a curve. you know, so the tire light is on. You say, I've checked all my tires, and, you know, this won't go off. And this is what we do every day and all day, and sometimes it'll stump us too, because some of the full-size spares will actually have a sensor in that spare tire. I don't think I've ever seen one with a miniature spare, you know, or the Space Saver spare. But if you have a full-size spare tire, usually mounted on the back of the vehicle if it does, that very well might have a sensor in there. So next time when it warms up, maybe pull that cover off, check the pressure of that tire, which is a good idea, and you'll see if there's a sensor there.
Well, looking at this next text, Nick, and let me just read it, and you can tell me if this is actually happening. My brother has a 1994 F-250. His speedometer quit working. The local mechanic says that it cannot be fixed because the computer chip is no longer available. What can we do? 1994. You think that's true? Cannot a speedometer not be repaired?
Well, I don't know. If it's in the cluster itself, they can be repaired, sent out, have, you know, some components replaced. We do see from time to time that they stop making parts. It happens. They become obsolete. But, you know, with the great thing called the internet and eBay and some of these other places, we tend to dig deep and find that, you know, the last one of whatever they are to get the car back on the road. So I think if somebody does some research, some digging around, let's first figure out which component exactly is wrong so we're not wasting, you know, efforts, time, money. Once we know that component, try to do a little research if we see where we can locate that and, you know, maybe have to have it shipped in from out of town or who knows. But I would think that there's probably one more save for that vehicle.
Let's see. Yes, I think we do have some time here for one or two more. Texture says, I need to put on my fourth heater core on a ProMaster City cargo van. It's got 300,000 miles on it. You think this is normal? Four heater cores.
It doesn't seem right. You know, I'd like to see heater core last the life of the vehicle, and most of them do, to be quite honest. So I think if you're replacing it more than once, something else is going on. Why are they failing? Is it because they're not fitting correctly? Is there vibration? Is it wearing through? You know, is it not just allowing any heat? You know, we've seen that before, too, where people say, you know, the heater core is restricted. Well, maybe there's a contaminant in there or some debris in there. So the heater core might be the result of something else that's creating the problem. So I would say, you know, pause. What's the failure point? Is it, you know, external where it's damaged and leaking, or is it internal where it's not allowing the heat to transfer? If it's not allowing the heat to transfer, we got to figure out what contaminants inside that cooling system that's causing this. If it's external, like there's an external leak, maybe it's not getting installed properly and it's vibrating and shaking, causing that to damage it.
Okay, we're getting more texts in, and I know we're toward the end of the show. Let's see if we can decipher this one. 2017 Chevy Trax, engine light is on. Went to O'Reilly's to check on it. It says the CAV converter. I'm not sure what that is. You do. But is it okay to drive, or how soon should I fix it?
So we talk about this also quite often. Those parts stores have a great service of giving you a fault code. They also will give you a most common failure list also, which is a little bit misleading, because what he has likely is a code 420, the catalytic converter efficiency code. It does happen. It doesn't mean that the converter has failed. It can be another issue, a failed oxygen sensor, an exhaust leak, some things that aren't as costly as the converter itself. So, you know, if it's flowing fine, running fine, you have some time. If you're noticing some drivability issues, lack of acceleration, some maybe different smells that you're not used to, get that vehicle and assessed. But just keep in mind, when you go to those parts stores, you get those codes. That's just step one of the process. That does not tell you what the car is needed. It just tells you a fault code and some possibilities. So just be careful not to look too deep into that.
All right, very good. I want to alert our listeners, Nick, as usual, any leftover text questions, and we have a couple of good ones. I'll save, and we'll open up the show with those next week. So we appreciate the patience of our listeners, and I hope you join us again next week. But in the meantime, Nick, as we wish you a happy Easter to you and all your crew at Lloyd's and your family, how do we get in touch with Lloyd's?
Yes, sir. So if you have a question, you know, come during the work week, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And like I always mention, if you're out on Grand Avenue in St. Paul grabbing a bite to eat or taking a stroll, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. And then, as always, do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
All right, Nick, very good. See you down the road. See you at Lloyd's, and let's talk next week.
All right, Denny. Happy Easter.
And to you and to your family. Thanks so much. Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next. Ted Farrell's Wine Chat, and then get those lawn and garden questions ready from Master Gardener Teresa Rooney next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.